My name is Celeste from Catskill, New York, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rue at Wave Farm, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we've got all sorts of songs and sounds and stories for you. We'll hear about where the latest movies are playing locally from Jenny Getty and Amanda Lees from their WGXC radio show Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. Plus we'll hear about the protest May 10th at the Capitol to pass the Electric Buildings Act and get New York moving more towards renewable energy. We'll hear from Liz Moran of Earth Justice and Albany County Legislator Sam Fine. Plus we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate and the day's radio news about how President Joe Biden is dragging his feet about his FCC nominee. And it all begins after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
Two Hudson Valley-based bands, Frenchy and the Punk and the Dust Bowl Fairies, perform at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock on May 12th at 8 p.m. You can find out more on the WGXC community calendar about the two bands. Frenchy and the Punk is French-born singer and percussionist Samantha Stevenson and American guitarist Scott Helland, who played with Deep Wound. The Dust Bowl Fairies include Ryder Cooley, John B. Wooden, Liz LeJudis, Andrew Stein, and Ruby LaRue. Again, they're at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock, Thursday, May 12th at 8 p.m. Go to the WGXC community calendar online to find out more information about this show and many others.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. CNN reports that New York Senators Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand voted May 11th for the Women's Health Protection Act, a bill aimed at allowing abortion nationwide. The theatrical vote's outcome was known before it was taken, but Schumer, as majority leader, wanted to get all senators on the record after the leak of the Supreme Court's ruling overturning Roe v. Wade. All Republicans voted against the measure, but Schumer could not get his entire delegation on board, as West Virginia-based Democrat Joe Manchin voted against for a 51-49 total against the bill. Quote, once again, as fundamental rights are at risk at the Supreme Court, Senate Republicans have blocked passage of the Women's Health Protection Act, a bill that affirmatively protects access to reproductive health care, unquote, President Joe Biden said in a statement. Quote, this failure to act comes at a time when women's constitutional rights are under unprecedented attack, and it runs counter to the will of the majority of American people, unquote. Read more about this story at CNN.
Jonah E. Bromwich and Ben Protest report in the New York Times that New York Judge Arthur F. Engoron rule on May 11th ended the $10,000 a day fines and the judicial order holding former President Donald Trump in contempt of court with conditions. Last month, Engoron ruled that Trump failed to comply with the terms of a December subpoena from Attorney General Letitia James requesting documents from his personal files. The judge ordered Trump to pay $10,000 a day until he provided the documents, and so far Trump owes $110,000. Trump is appealing the contempt ruling, so the judge says the money will be held in escrow until that appeal is settled. In a court filing earlier this year, James alleged that the Trump Organization had engaged in, and I quote, fraudulent or misleading, end quote, business practices, and she is seeking business records to see if, for instance, the Trump Organization told the Internal Revenue Service that his properties were worth a different amount than what he told investors. Trump's lawyers argued they have searched for and turned over all documents requested that they could find. The judge also ordered that Trump, Donald Trump Jr., and Ivanka Trump all testify in the case, and Trump lawyers are also appealing that ruling. Read more about this story in the New York Times.
Patricia Doxey reports for the Daily Freeman that Dutchess County Legislature Chair Greg Pulver has withdrawn a resolution to authorize the purchase of a 24,640-square-foot building on Poughkeepsie's north side intended for use as a homeless shelter that would house up to 100 people. Legislators were prepared to vote to spend $2.1 million for the 26 Oakley Street property, as well as $1 million for the Department of Public Works to design the new facility. The funding would come from the county's share of the federal American Rescue Plan Act grant. But with a potential lawsuit by the city looming and widespread public outcry over the project, Pulver decided to delay action on the measure until June. Quote, it was clear people wanted more time to digest some of the material and come up with a better working plan, unquote, Pulver said. The delay will give residents and city officials another 30 days to provide input on the project. Quote, we expect to move forward in June, unquote, he said. Residents and city officials are upset about the planned location of the facility in the city's Fifth Ward, an area that, according to Democratic Minority Leader Yvette Valdez-Smith, quote, has the highest unemployment rate and the lowest household incomes in the county, unquote. Pulver conceded that opponents had some valid concerns and that the most unpopular county services, including the jail and a planned rehab center, are, quote, being dumped on the north side of Poughkeepsie, unquote. But Pulver said the county can mitigate the potential impacts of locating a homeless shelter in that area. He also noted that many unhoused people are already living in temporary housing units on the county jail campus. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that State Supreme Court Justice Patrick McAllister ruled May 11th that New York State's new assembly districts will remain in place for a June primary election. A different judge ruled the congressional and state Senate district lines were gerrymandered and ordered new districts be drawn and those primary elections be moved to August 23rd. Then a Greene County-based man, Gary Greenberg, and Republican activist Gavin Wax filed a suit against the assembly redistricting. But McAllister said there is not enough time to draw new lines before a June 28 primary. Wax had previously indicated he will appeal a negative ruling to a higher court. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
Meg Britton Meschlich is reporting for the Berkshire Eagle that Verizon Wireless May 10th filed a lawsuit in federal court against the city of Pittsfield, Massachusetts, Board of Health, in an effort to block an emergency order requiring the company to appear and defend its cell tower at 877 South Street in the city. In its complaint, the company asked the court to answer a question on whether the Board of Health's order violated the Telecommunications Act of 1996. At the request of Pittsfield City Council, the Board of Health has been investigating the health concerns reported by residents that live near the 4G cell tower, including headaches, dizziness, nausea, insomnia, skin rashes, and other health problems. The Board of Health issued an emergency order on April 11th, giving Verizon 7 days to request a hearing to show why the board should not issue a cease and desist order. The board found that the cell tower, quote, is a public nuisance, unquote, and, quote, a cause of sickness, unquote, that, quote, directly causes harm to certain individuals and renders dwellings unfit for human habitation, unquote. The members of the City Council this week held a lengthy executive session about the matter, but declined to comment afterwards, citing pending litigation. Verizon is arguing the board's order violates the Telecommunications Act's preemption clause, preventing state or local governments from regulating the placement, construction, and modification of wireless service facilities on the basis of alleged environmental effects, as long as the facility is operating within the Federal Communication Commission's regulations on those emissions. Health effects, according to Verizon, are included within the scope of, quote, environmental effects, unquote. The company maintains it is operating well within the FCC's standard of frequency emissions. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle.
Coe Callahan reports in the Times Union about a nonprofit organization, Sail Hope, which sponsors sailing trips on the Hudson River for those in need. Stephanie Coulter of Catskill, who founded the nonprofit, said, and I quote, "You forget about other issues when you're sailing," end quote. She added she co-founded the nonprofit to, and I quote, "reach those who are facing personal, financial, or emotional discouragement, stress, and struggles, and bring them new joy and hope," end quote. Each trip can host up to 6 people on the group's 28-foot sailboat, which boards in Catskill, where the boat is berthed, or at the town dock in Athens or Hudson. So far, the group has worked with Columbia Green Mental Health Association, and wants to partner with the Girl Scouts Mariner program. Coulter said, and I quote, "I want to share with as many people as possible, and not everyone can afford to rent a boat or go sailing. I didn't want people to feel like they couldn't experience that," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Porcupine Soup is reporting that 5 members of the Kara Durham High School senior class have earned the New York State Seal of Biliteracy, recognizing their high levels of proficiency in English and Spanish. The students recognized are Kira Byrne, Robert Lampman, Ali McGifford, Michaela Mudge, and James Mutkinski. The students are the second class of Kara Durham students to earn the Seal of Biliteracy distinction. In addition to special seals on their diplomas, they will also receive medallions in recognition of their achievement. Quote, "Earning the Seal of Biliteracy is a true affirmation of these students' accomplishments in language proficiency and multicultural understanding and meaningful for their future college endeavors and employers," unquote, said Tammy Carker, Department Facilitator for Languages Other Than English at Kara Durham High School. All 5 candidates completed upper-level English and world language courses with a minimum average of 85% and earned high scores on Regents, Advanced Placement, and other accredited Checkpoint C exams. Candidates were also required to present a research project meeting the state's criteria for proficiency in speaking, listening, reading, and writing in English and at least one other language. Read more about this story at porcupinesoup.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Thursday, sunny with a high near 80 degrees, Thursday night partly cloudy with a low of around 55, and on Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 77 degrees, and Friday night mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 62. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM. Radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air on Thursday, May 12th, including at 10 a.m. Cheryl Kay hosts the jazz show Situation Fluxus, and on Thursday talks with vocalist and songwriter Alex Bird and saxophonist, composer, and author John Gordon. Plus, she'll tune in new music from Oscar Pennis. At 11 a.m., the Transformational Listening Show tunes in Ali Akbar Khan. At noon, Brad Moncal's Ear Candy Show talks with saxophonist Roxy Koss and guitarist Shuba Sarin. 3 p.m., it's time to go back in the womb with the Turn on the News program. At 4 p.m., Cella Graham is the host today on WGXC Afternoon Show live from Hudson. At 7 p.m., we go live to Philmont with Heath Iverson and the Philmont Media Project with Movies on the Radio. 9 p.m., we're live from Toronto with Andrew Connor and his Disco 3000 show. And at 10 p.m., we're live from Columbia County with The Magic Stranger and The Magic Stranger Show on 90.7 FM, WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
This summer, the Athens Cultural Center presents movies in Athens Riverfront Park every second Saturday of the month, beginning around 8:30 p.m. On May 14th, they'll show Harold and Maude from 1971. June 11th, they'll show Athens resident Lisa Thomas's movie Thirsty from 2016. July 9th, they'll show A Trip to the Moon, the 1902 movie. August 13th, they'll show Summer of Soul, the Oscar-winning film from last year. And September 10th, they will display I Dream Too Much from 2015. That's the Athens Cultural Center's summer movie series in Athens Riverfront Park. You can find out more about these film showings on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org.
Field recordings, found sound, soundscapes, ambience.
Bells, bugs,
whispers, and plinks.
Hosted by
Stephen Bradley
and Edward Rahelstein.
Every fifth Tuesday of the month from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m.
Bells, bugs, whispers, and plinks.
On WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, May 12th. Early this morning, we see some mild temperatures. 47 degrees in Mellonville to 51 in Windham. Soil temperature is 54 degrees. Conditions are very dry, so water those plants and no open burning today. Cloud cover will be around 25% most of the day. We will get a high of 80 happening at 3 p.m. Overnight, temperatures fall to a nice, neat 60 degrees. Tomorrow will be dry again with a high of 77 at 3 p.m. Saturday! Ooh, nope, I skipped ahead a little too far. We got 63 degrees overnight, taking us into a wet Saturday with a stormy afternoon. Overnight, it stays moist with a low of 63. Sunday, more rain and afternoon storms with a high of 80. Monday, more rain with a high of 78. Pollen levels for today will be high. Today's tide schedule is high tide will be at 12:30 a.m. Low tide will be at 7:04 a.m. High tide again at 12:32 p.m. and low tide once again at 7:26 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 57 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:50 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:34 a.m. Looking way up, we see that all the recently generated coronal mass ejection activity will be heading away from our general direction. And this Sunday night, a total lunar eclipse is due to begin around 9:30. Solar wind speed is currently 302 kilometers per second at 20 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 30 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 84. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Celia Graham of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Tune in to all sorts of live radio shows every Sunday on WGXC 90.7 FM, beginning at 8 a.m., where the Reverend Kim Singletary is live with There's a Bright Side Somewhere from Columbia County, every Sunday at 8 a.m. Then at 9 a.m., Janessa Hope McKay brings you a slap of reality live from the WGXC studio in Hudson in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. She's playing her top music picks and talking about her hot topics of the week until 11 a.m. At 1 p.m., every Sunday, DJ Neva Wartell is live with Music for the Masses from Catskill, with sounds from around the world. At 4 p.m. every Sunday, Carlene Murphy and Azuka Legba are live with the Lile Latan version of the WGXC Afternoon Show until 6 p.m. And every Sunday night, Tony Fallon is live with the Irish Show at 8 p.m. on the radio from Acre on 90.7 WGXC.
We love roll call, y'all. Boogie Down Productions, Rob Bass, Dana Dane, Molly Marr, Olatunji, Chuck D, Ray Charles, EPMD, EU, Alberta Hunter, Run DMC, Stetsasonic, Sugar Bear, John Coltrane, Big Daddy Kane, Salt and Pepper, Luther Vandross, McCoy Tyner, Biz Marquee, New Edition, Otis Redding, Anita Baker, Thelonious Monk, Marcus Miller, Branford Marcellus, James Brown, Wayne Shorter, Tracy Chapman, Miles Davis, Force MDs, Oliver Nelson, Fred Wesley, Maceo, Janet Jackson, Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, George Clinton, Count Basie, M2 May, Stevie Wonder, Bobby McFerrin, Dexter Gordon, Sam Cooke, Parliament Funkadelic, Al Jarreau, Teddy Pendergrass, Joe Williams, Wynton Marsalis, Phyllis Hyman, Sade, Sarah Vaughan, Roland Kirk, Keith Sweat, Cool Moe Dee, Prince, Ella Fitzgerald, Diana Reeves, Aretha Franklin, Bob Marley, Bessie Smith, Whitney Houston, Dionne Warwick, Steel Pulse, Little Richard, Mahalia Jackson, Jackie Wilson, Cannonball and Nat Adderley, Quincy Jones, Marvin Gaye, Charles Mingus, and Mary Lou Williams. We want to thank you all for making our lives just a little brighter here on We Love Radio.
Take a tip from me, took it to the park. When you're on your own, it's a long walk home. Well, if they follow you, don't look back. Like Dylan in the movies, on your own. If they follow you, it's not your money that they're after, boy, it's you. You're easy listening, settle down on the pillow soft. When they've all gone home, you can concentrate on the ones you love. You can concentrate, hey, now they've gone. But if they follow you, don't look back. Like Dylan in the movie, on your own. If they follow you, it's not your mind. They're out of boy, it's you. trouble and you're worth the pain. You're worth the worry, I would do the same. If we all went back to another time, I will love you over. I will love you over. I will love you. If they follow you, don't look back, like Dylan in the movies, on your own. If they follow you, tenderly you turn the light on in your room.
To tell you lovely listeners about what's playing in the theaters in our area. I'll start with the Wyndham Theater. Playing at the Wyndham Theater, which, by the way, if you didn't know, is also an Airbnb and a Carvel and a Subway and a laundromat. Playing at the Wyndham Theater, we have Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, The Bad Guys, and Sonic the Hedgehog 2. To find out more, you can go to windhamtheater.com.
I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's playing at the Crandall Theater in Chatham. As always, it's many things. So at the Crandall, you can now see The Duke, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Eat, Pray, Love, Memoria, Viva Maestro, Downton Abbey, A New Era, Petite Maman, Hit the Road, The Northman, The Automat, and then coming soon, there are a couple other movies called Rosemaker and Hello Bookstore. And you can find out all of the specific showtimes at crandalltheater.org.
Amazing. I am going to tell you guys that the Greenville Drive-In, otherwise known as Drive-In 32, is opening for the summer, for the season, on Saturday, May 21st. And they're kicking it off with Animal House. You can find out more about the Greenville Drive-In at drivein32.com.
I'm now going to tell you about what's playing at Spotlight Cinemas in Hudson. And that's the one on Fairview, if you are not familiar with its official name. Right now, they're playing Memory, The Northman, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, The Bad Guys, Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore, and Sonic the Hedgehog 2, if you're in the mood for a sequel, a squeakquel.
Mostly kids movies.
Mostly kids movies, yeah.
So they have not updated their website with their schedule for the coming weekend, but the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie is indeed open. So you can find out more about the show times right now. Before Memorial Day, they're only open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But you can find out more about what's showing there this coming weekend and the ones forever, hopefully, at highwaydrivein.com. That's HIWAYdrivein.com.
I'm now going to tell you about TSL in Hudson, but it's a little complicated, so I would strongly suggest going to their website, which is timeandspace.org. They're always playing really cool stuff, but the times are, I can never remember them, or, they play movies, they take them away, they bring them back. So I'm just going to give you like a little smattering of things that you might be interested in. So they are playing South, Ernest Shackleton. They're playing The Tale of King Crab, Anais in Love, Inland Empire, Paris, 13th District. I know, Inland Empire, very exciting. The Velvet Queen, they're still playing a couple shows of. They're also playing a couple showings of Everything Everywhere All at Once, if you still haven't seen that yet. something called Kamikaze Hearts. And it looks like a couple other things, but it's hard, you know, sometimes I'm like, is it a movie? Is it a show? I'm just not sure. My loving suggestion to you would be to go to timeandspace.org, or, you know, just pop over there and see what they've got going on. Cause it's always interesting, even when it's something that I've never heard of.
Wow. Yeah. I am very excited to go see Inland Empire.
Right. I know. I've never seen it.
I have never finished it. Well, I have to. Okay. All right. I gotta write it down.
When schedule that in.
Exactly. Okay. So I am going to tell you guys about what's playing at the two Upstate Films locations at the Star Cinema in Rhinebeck. We have ABBA, the movie fan event, Petite Maman, The Duke, Downton Abbey, A New Era, and Everything Everywhere All at Once. And at the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties, we have This Much I Know to Be True, We're All Going to the World's Fair, Happening, The Northman, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Vortex, Downton Abbey, A New Era, Kirikou and the Sorceress, I Carry You With Me with director Heidi Ewing, and The Automat with director Lisa Hurwitz.
Wow. There are a bunch of movies that I want to see there. That's really exciting.
It's really stacked. It's
thanks
really
for updating
stacked.
Me.
So you can find out more about showtimes and everything at upstatefilms.org. And before we get into anything else, I actually just have another cool thing to tell you about. So here in Athens, where I live, like I share a building wall with the Athens Cultural Center. And this season, they're starting a free event called Second Saturdays, which is on the second Saturdays of each month. They do a free film screening outdoors in the park here in Athens. And the first one is this Saturday, May 14th, and they're screening Harold and Maude.
So cute.
Yeah, and that starts at 8:30 p.m. You can find out more about that at the Athens Cultural website or their Instagram, which is just Athens Cultural Center. And the website is athensculturalcenter.org.
Wow. So,
That's
free. Really cool. It's 'tis the season for outdoor movies. It's coming. It's like 75 degrees out today. It's crazy.
It's so nice.
It's beautiful.
Exactly. All right. So should we just get right into it?
Should we dive on in? I did watch one new movie, which I can speak to very briefly.
Cool. Yeah, please do.
We usually start our show. If you're a new listener, welcome to WGXC and Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. I'm Jenny and that's Amanda.
Hi.
But we also often start by talking about any fresh, hot new movies that have recently come out that we've seen. And I've only seen one and it was fine. Give it a good, strong capital F fine. I saw the new Doctor Strange movie, which to be fair, I did not see the first one. I do not know his origin story, how he became so very strange.
He's just so strange.
But I went to see this one in part because it was directed by Sam Raimi. And I am a Raimi head, maybe gently. I mean, not really. I've only seen a couple of his movies, but
We like Raimi.
But I enjoyed the 40% of it that was Sam Raimi being let off the leash and doing fun stuff with skeletons. And then the 60% that was Marvel thin characters with thin motivations interested me much less. But you know, that's the movies for you, baby.
If there's one thing I know about Jenny, it's that Jenny loves skeletons in stories.
You know, it turns out I really do. I didn't know that about myself until a couple, you know, recently, but
yeah,
here we are.
And you know, Sam Raimi does skeletons real good.
He really does. It's really as soon as they let him off, you're like, oh my god, look at all these skeletons, they're everywhere.
Oh god, covered in cobwebs.
Oh god,
terrible.
that's my review.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Sadly, the Senate failed to stand in defense of a woman's right to make decisions about her own body.
Vice President Kamala Harris was in the upper chamber as Senate Republicans, joined by Democrat Joe Manchin, blocked a bill that would codify federal abortion protections. Republicans argued the legislation infringed on religious liberty in state laws, with James Lankford of Oklahoma using a large photo of a baby to make his case against abortion.
Equity, privacy rights, bodily autonomy, health care decisions, freedom to choose, reproductive rights, basic civil rights. All those are euphemisms for she dies.
A group of House Democrats led by Representative Rashida Tlaib marched to the Senate before the vote.
My body, my decision.
The conservative majority on the Supreme Court is expected to strike down the Roe v. Wade decision this summer. The governors of Maryland and Virginia, along with Republican leaders, are calling on the Justice Department to investigate protests outside the homes of U.S. Supreme Court justices. House Republican Conference Chair Elise Stefanik criticized Democrats for not condemning the protests.
What makes Republicans consistent is we speak out against violent acts, no matter who commits them.
Many Democrats have defended the protests as peaceful and lawful. Final congressional approval of a $40 billion Ukraine aid bill seems certain within days. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said funds will allow Ukraine to get more weapons and equipment, plus help investigate war crimes by Russia. The Senate is likely to vote next week on a $48 billion small business aid package. It would help restaurants and bars, businesses and ferries, gyms, minor league teams, live event support companies, and border region businesses that saw big revenue losses during the pandemic. Inflation eased slightly during April to 8.3%, but remains close to a four-decade high of 8.5%. The Labor Department also reported a leap of 9.4% in food prices, the largest 12-month increase since 1981. In Illinois, President Biden spoke about how the federal government will support farmers to ensure the food supply is secure.
As a big company's made massive profits, the prices you see at the grocery stores have gone up, and the prices farmers receive has gone down.
The White House plans to increase the number of counties eligible for insurance for double cropping and invest more in domestic fertilizers. Republican voters in Nebraska picked Jim Pillen as their nominee for governor instead of former President Trump's backed candidate. However, Trump-endorsed candidates won primary races in West Virginia for the U.S. House Tuesday. A judge blocked an attempt by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis to remake the state's congressional map because of the way it distributed black voters among several districts, diminishing their ability to elect representatives of their choice. DeSantis pushed a map that would boost the number of Republican-held seats and dismantle a seat held by a black Democrat. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rowe at Wave Farm with the day's radio news. Ars Technica reports that President Joe Biden heaped praise this week on the opponents of his nominee for the Federal Communications Commission, Gigi Sohn. Technology policy, though, is not Biden's priority right now, as raging inflation and Russia's invasion of Ukraine are taking up much of the president's time. Biden announced that Comcast, Charter Spectrum, AT&T, Verizon, and 16 other ISPs, quote, committed to offer all affordable connectivity program eligible families at least one high-speed plan with download speeds of at least 100 Mbps for $30 a month or less, with no additional fees and no data caps, unquote, the White House said, crowing about a policy to help consumers through inflation. The Affordable Connectivity Program provides eligible households with discounts of $30 a month, so many consumers will get free plans. Quote, you're really changing people's lives, you really are, unquote, the president said to the big broadband providers. Instead of short-term announcements such as this, Biden could be passing long-term solutions at the FCC if Sohn was confirmed to give Democrats a majority of the FCC commissioners. Quote, some of the internet service providers appearing at this White House event are sabotaging President Biden's FCC even as they pose for today's photo op, unquote, Free Press Vice President of Policy and General Counsel Matt Wood said. Quote, these voluntary commitments form a strange juxtaposition to the aggressive delay efforts orchestrated by the very same broadband providers, wireless carriers, and broadcasters the FCC regulates to stall the confirmation of Gigi Sohn, a strong consumer champion, to the agency, unquote. Public Knowledge said. Biden waited almost a year to even nominate Sohn on October 26, 2021. The Senate Commerce Committee sent the nomination to the full Senate on March 3rd, but Democratic leaders have not brought the nomination to a vote. quote, the Biden administration took a painfully long time to nominate the most obvious candidate for this position, Gigi Sohn, and has done precious little to have her confirmed in a reasonable time frame. Though it would be easy to blame Republican opposition, the truth is that it simply does not appear to be a priority for the administration, unquote, said Community Broadband Network's program director Christopher Mitchell. Ars Technica also reports that Biden, in March 2021, promised to prioritize municipally owned networks, nonprofits, and cooperatives in a $100 billion broadband plan. Congress eventually only voted for $65 billion and did not give municipal networks priority. This has been the day's radio news. Go to wavefarm.org for more radio news.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Interesting, boring, really, 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 really boring.
It would be about wonderful things. It would be about
chocolate pigs.
So she's obsessed with pigs.
Chocolate pigs?
Awesome.
All the way down.
I turned it down.
But only dogs can hear.
Do it. Did you hear that?
No.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
With a little less than a month left in the New York State legislative session, lawmakers once again have failed to take any major action on climate change, despite the increasingly urgent warnings from the United Nations and the world scientists. One proposal that was initially in the governor's budget was to ban the use of gas in new buildings by 2027. Climate activists want a faster timeline of 2024, which is what New York City has recently adopted. The issue was removed from the budget due to the state assembly opposition, partially because they did not want policy issues to be decided in the budget, but also due from oppositions from unions in the construction field. Lawmakers and advocates from NYPERG, Food and Water Watch, New York Communities for Change, and others rallied at the Capitol to support the Old Electric Buildings Act on Tuesday. We hear from the main legislative sponsors, Senator Kavanaugh and Assemblymember Gallagher, and others, including Albany County Legislature Sam Fine. First, we hear from the MC, Liz Moran of Earth Justice.
Thank you all so much for joining us here today to call on New York State to pass the All Electric Buildings Act. The time is now. Now or never to get off of fossil fuels. So my name's Liz Moran. I'm the New York policy advocate with Earth Justice. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change recently released a dire report that found we have to start decreasing global greenhouse gas emissions and get off fossil fuels ASAP. It's common sense. We cannot keep building buildings to rely upon fossil fuels. The building sector in New York State makes up the largest sector of greenhouse gas emissions in New York. And the technology is here and available now. We have all electric buildings already coming online in New York State. So what's stopping us? The fossil fuel industry. The fossil fuel industry has spent billions over the course of decades lying about their role in causing the climate crisis. Are we going to let them continue to lie to us and deceive us now?
No.
That's right. We cannot let New York State be bamboozled by the fossil fuel industry any longer. We need this legislation now. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to the Senate bill sponsor, Senator Brian Kavanaugh.
You know, as I said, this is an incredibly important issue, and this is an incredibly important moment, and the time to get this done is now. We know that the Senate and the Assembly will adjourn for the year on June 2nd. Very soon. Somebody is counting the actual session. I think it's, how many is it? Nine. But, you know, we have basically about 4 weeks to get this done. We know that through the great work of the organizations present here and many others, New York City has already put a ban in place that is very similar to the one we're doing today. But we know that the rest of the state is also a huge producer of the pollution that is causing climate change, that is literally destroying the habitability of the planet we live on. By implementing the bill before us today, we would prevent the release of an additional 4 million metric tons of CO2 by 2040. That is in addition to the 2 million metric tons that the city bill already will get out of the system. And that is the equivalent of removing about 870,000 automobiles from our streets statewide for a year. We've been hearing recently some newfound interest in the part of many people who've been skeptical of all kinds of measures. Welcome, Emily Gallagher. We've been hearing from all kinds of people who have been in telling us we don't need to act urgency for so long, now saying, well, we can't act urgently to prevent new buildings that burn fossil fuel because we need to upgrade the grid, because we need to upgrade transmission, because we need new storage capacity and new technology to deliver electricity. By the way, all of those things are true. We do need to do all those things, but we need to act on this crisis on all fronts. We cannot wait to have a perfect electrical grid in order to stop building infrastructure that is going to require gas for decades to come. This is about stopping digging the hole deeper that we know we're already in. We have the opportunity to get this done. I'm very proud with so many colleagues in both houses of the legislature, and we've already had some good productive conversations this session with the governor's office, but it is time now to work together to get this done.
I'm now thrilled to introduce our Assembly Bill sponsor, Assemblymember Emily Gallagher.
I am thrilled to see everybody out here to support the All Electric Buildings Act. We have been gaining so much momentum for this bill. And it is critical because so many of us see that the environmental crisis that we are already in is not existential. It has become physically real. And we cannot wait any longer, and we cannot be detached from this issue. I know that here in the halls of Albany, we often become detached from the realities of what our bills do to everyday people and to our earth. And it is absolutely essential that we make sure that we keep reminding all of our colleagues and all of your representatives that this is a real thing that is happening and that we can prevent. Now, my colleague, Mr. Kavanaugh, he brought up so many good points. I really don't even have that much to add. But I do want to say that it is ridiculous that we are claiming not to have power over things that haven't even been built yet. We have control over the businesses and over the real estate industry in this state. And for us to claim otherwise is ludicrous and honestly looks really like some of the people in charge are controlled by those industries instead of the other way around. It's really important that everyone band together and prove that we have the power. We ran for these seats to help our communities, and that is what we must do by passing the All Electric Buildings Act. Thank you.
Our next speaker is Assemblymember Matanis.
Point out the fact that if this industry is spending millions of dollars on commercials to lie to folk, then we know that we are on the right track. Every call and every email that I get of constituents upset about their cost of the electricity is an opportunity for me to teach and send them back out there with the right message. And we will continue to organize. We've got folks upstate and downstate supporting this. This is a no-brainer. We have goals with the CLCPA. Let's get this done.
Our next speaker is Sam Fine, Albany County Legislator.
I represent part of the city of Albany, the south end of Albany. And if you drove in today, you'll see lines of oil trains lined up right along 787 that goes all the way to the port of Albany. You'll see these full trains. When the price of oil goes up, the trains come. When it goes down, they disappear. But it goes right to the port of Albany. Right next to it is public housing. And that's the situation that we face. It's often the most vulnerable
vulnerable communities. It's low-income communities. It's communities of color that have to face the worst impacts of fossil fuels. I think that just shows all the more urgency that we need to get off fossil fuels as soon as we can. My district is also filled with lots of old buildings, buildings that pollute a lot more, people that are paying higher electricity costs because those buildings are not sealed up and they have and they're burning lots of fossil fuels. So, you know, this is such a critical issue, and just want to thank everyone who's been pushing this.
Final speaker today is Bella, who is a NYPERG student from Hunter College.
Today, I just want to say, for young people like me, this is a generational climate issue. It's an issue that's front and center for us. We are seeing more severe storms and flash floods with water up to our waist just to get on the train, and people are drowning in their homes, in their basements, trapped. Our communities and our subways are unable to deal with it all. If we don't act now, Earth will still be here, but future generations may not be here to see it. And that's the reality. And all electric buildings is a solution that can be expanded easily and quickly. Buildings are already going up across the state that are gas-free and all electric. Unsurprisingly, the fossil fuel industry is not into electrifying everything because it hurts their profits. And now, even when gas is up to $6 or $7 a gallon, and while the world is burning, the fossil fuel industry is making record profit. They are doing it all at the expense of a livable future for me and my peers. Fossil fuel special interests will fight necessary action with misinformation, scare tactics, and by delaying climate solutions. But we are here today to implore that our legislative leaders do not fall for it. Pass the All Electric Building Act today.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
If he goes back to the house, then things would go from bad to worse. What could he do? He wants to remember things exactly as he left them on that funny day. And if there is something else beyond, he isn't scared, because it's bound to be less boring than today. Bound to be less boring than tomorrow. Because she couldn't think of anything to say. Everybody thought that she was boring, so they never listened anyway. Nobody was really saying anything of interest. She fell asleep. She was into S&M and Bible studies, not everyone's cup of tea, she would admit to me. Cup of tea, she would admit to no one. A cup of tea, she would admit to me. A cup of tea, she would admit to no one. Hillary went to the Catholic Church because she wanted information. The vicar or whatever took her to one side and gave a confirmation. St. Teresa priest is calling her, the church up on the hill is looking lovely. But it didn't interest, the only thing she wants to know is how and why and when and where to go. How and why and when and where to follow. How and why and when and where to go. How and why and when and where to follow. But if you